Good morning. It's my pleasure to welcome you to our service this morning. It's good to be in the Lord's house. We'll start just a few seconds early. Now we're ready. Clock just went off. We're good to be together, and we're in the Lord's house this morning. We're going to stand and open our service with the hymn, "We Have Come to Join in Worship." If you're able to stand, please stand with us as we open our service this morning.
To join in worship and adore the Lord our God. Let us come in prayer, expecting God to speak His mighty word. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Christians pray.
Make sure we greet each other. If you're a visitor this morning, welcome to our service. As we sing, let's greet each other.
Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us care for all His people till our God makes all things new. Christ will call us home to heaven. At His banquet we'll sit down. Christ Himself will rise and serve us, living manna all around.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Father, we do thank You for this day. We thank You for a time of worship that You've given to us. We thank You for this, the privilege, opportunity, and freedom that we have to come to church and be together. And it just means so much to us. Lord, we are the church, but it helps us to be together as a church. And so we just thank You for this opportunity today. I pray that we honor You in all that we do today. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Pastor. Just a reminder, there'll be no Wednesday night services here this week. We'll be setting up for the consignment sale, which will be Friday and Saturday here at the church. The hours and everything's listed in your bulletin. Also, keep in mind that the food distribution will be the 19th, Friday the 19th of August. So that'll be something else to keep in mind as well. We're going to continue with our worship songs this morning, "At Calvary," and "I'd Rather Have Jesus," two very familiar songs that speak about new life in Christ. So we'll ask that you join in with us as we sing "At Calvary" and "I'd Rather Have Jesus."
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing was for me. He died on Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty. Sin I learned, then I trembled at the light's burn, till my guilty soul in glory turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty. To Jesus everything. Now I gladly own Him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. So found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that through salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span. Multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. To be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords.
Thank you, two very biblical hymns about a new life in Christ. We're going to continue with that theme this morning about there's no other name but the name of Jesus. He is the truth and the way. So if you could join in with us as we stand together, if you're able to stand with us as we sing this one, and you can sit on the second one. No other name but the name of Jesus.
love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name than sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. You are the light to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and the way. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord.
Be seated. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. We're going to introduce a new song this morning. We've worked on it for a few weeks now. It's going to become one of our favorites. It's a great song with a great message, talking about the hymn of heaven, how we're going to be joined around the throne with him, singing songs of praise and with the resurrected ones. But don't have to wait till heaven. We can sing that hymn of heaven now today. So if you know it, join in with us. It's a very popular song on Christian radio today. So it's called The Hymn of Heaven. Hope you enjoy it.
How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more, standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. the songs of faith we sang through doubt and fear. In the end, we'll see that it was worth it when He returns to wipe away our tears. There will be a day when all will bow before Him. There will be a day when death will be no more, standing face to face with He who died. Join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." And on that day, we'll join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." Forever He shall reign.
Father, we thank You for the promise of eternal life with You. One day, with a thousand generations, we'll sing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." We thank You for that promise and that assurance that comes with knowing You in a personal relationship. God, we pray that as we listen to Your message and apply Your message to our heart today, it would change our life. We pray that we would be more determined to tell others about You each and every day. Go with us now as we go through the rest of the service. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, worship team. I like that, didn't you? I like that. Looking forward to that. Really am. I sang another one of my favorites today, "I'd Rather Have Jesus." And probably you know this story, but the baritone voice for many years for the Billy Graham Crusade was George Beverly Shea. And before he went with Billy Graham as full-time music evangelist, George Beverly Shea was offered a contract by RCA to go with them and just record with RCA. And he turned that down to go to be with Billy Graham. And soon after he did that and made that decision, he sat down and he wrote the words to that song, "I'd Rather Have Jesus." And that's always been one of my favorites. You would think that people who keep track with these things would tell us that the most often verses to look up in the Bible would be like John 3:16, or Psalm 23, or passages like that. But that's not it. The most often passage that is looked up today in our world is Philippians 4, 6 through 9. They have called the age that we live in today the age of stress. Stress, anxiety, worry is at an all-time high in our world today. Today, what I want to do is try to help all of us because we all, you know, I would like to say that I don't worry about things, but I do. I mean, I'm not mature enough, I guess, yet not to worry, but I do. I have times when I worry about things, but what I want to do is look at a biblical approach to what the Bible has to say about worry. And this is the passage, I think, that we need to look at. I mean, this is the passage that helps us with those things. And so in verse 6 of Philippians 4, the Bible says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Now, if you could think about a faucet and how we turn on a faucet and turn off a faucet, what I do a lot of times is I want to keep that faucet of worry and anxiety and stress turned off, but at times I turn it back on, and here it comes again. But what I know about what the Bible says to us in this passage, though, about a common thing that we all face with worry and anxiety and stress is this, that the only way that we can learn to deal with it and the only thing that we can do to get beyond that in certain situations is to depend on the Spirit of God to empower us. It is biblically based. It is faith-based. And that is where the answer is. It is found in God. It's found in the Lord. It's found in the promises of the Bible. And that's how we get, you know, how we deal with these things. The word anxious in the Bible that is used here in the Bible, it is used two ways. One way that the verb be anxious is used is it refers to legitimate concerns that we have. And we all have those. And we're not downplaying that. We're not downplaying, and the Bible is not downplaying legitimate concerns. The Apostle Paul is not downplaying legitimate concerns. What he acknowledges, though, is this, that it's a part of life. Why do you think that the Bible tells us so many times not to fear? Because God knew that we would have fear. Why does the Bible deal so much with the idea of anxiety and stress and worry? Because the Lord knew that we would have a problem in these areas. And so that's why he addresses this. So one way it's used, though, is to refer to legitimate concerns that we have in life. But another way that it is used in the Bible is in the idea of worry. And basically what it means is to doubt God or to doubt the promises of God. A few weeks ago, I preached on spiritual warfare. Since then, I've talked about fear. Today, I'm talking about worry. And the reason I wanted to follow this up with spiritual warfare is because of this. When we talked about those arrows that Satan will use against us and those darts that he shoots against us to get us to doubt the goodness of God, the promises of God, and faithfulness of God, one of those is fear. Another one is worry, and so that's what we're dealing with today. So what we need to think about, though, today is our response when we do worry, our response when these things come along that really bother us, What do we do with those things? We all struggle with anxiety. We all struggle with stress. We all struggle with worry about things. But the problem is this. When it really becomes a habit in our life, and we just worry all the time, and so that's where the problem is. In his book, Christian Counseling, Gary Collins said this, and I want you to listen to what he said, because what he does here is to explain to us how worry is generated. Listen to this. He said, worry comes when we turn from God, shift the burden of life onto ourselves, and assume, at least by our attitude and actions, that we alone are responsible for handling the problems, instead of acknowledging God's sovereignty and power or seeking His kingdom and righteousness first, many of us slip into self-reliance, preoccupation with our own life pressures. And the reason I want to read that is because I think it really gives clarity to this idea of worry. Now, basically what it is when we take on the problems ourselves, we don't take our problems to God, our worry to God, our stress to God, our anxiety to God, and we think that we can handle all this on our own. We see what that does, though. It opens the door to Satan. I mean, it just opens the door to him, to where he's going to pile on and he's just going to bring it on as much as he can. So, the Bible tells us here to be anxious for nothing. Now, why is that? Well, if you look at verse 5, here's the answer. Because the Lord is at hand. When the Bible says the Lord is at hand, it really can be applied three ways. One way is that the second coming is soon. Jesus Christ is coming again. His coming is at hand. The Lord's coming again is at hand. That's one way we can look at it. Another way to look at it, though, is to think about when it comes time for us to go to heaven. Now, we don't know when that time is going to be for any of us, but we know that that time is at hand. The Lord to take us home, to be with Him, that time is at hand, and it could be at any moment. But another way to look at it, though, is to think about the presence of God with us. The Lord is at hand. He is here to help us. He's here with us. And through the person of the Holy Spirit, then He is with us to help us face these difficulties in life. Now, what He's doing here, though, what Paul's doing is telling us that what we need to do is to shift all our worry, all our concern, all our stress, shift it to God rather than us trying to carry it on our own. So one of the lessons, though, that we learn from the book of Philippians is this. And I want you to get this lesson. Paul is writing to mature believers. Paul is writing to people who believe in God, who have faith in God, people who are faithful to God. But he also acknowledges this, that these mature Christians have things they worry about, that they're having problem with it, with anxiety, they're having problem with stress and worry and things like that. So what he says here, though, is be anxious for nothing. Now, what does nothing mean? Well, it means nothing. That's what it means. We can be concerned, and we need to be concerned about legitimate concerns, but he says, we should not worry. So don't, you know, worry about nothing, is what he says here. Now, listen. All this sounds easy, doesn't it? And these verses, here's the promise of God. We read this, and it sounds easy to do, but it's easier to talk about it than it is to live this. So the question is, how do we win this battle over worry? How do we get there? Well, first of all is this, refuse to worry about anything. He says, be anxious for nothing. You know what worry does? It really makes a problem. It doesn't make it smaller. You know what it does? It makes it bigger. Rick Warren said this. He said, worry is like being in a rocking chair. You know, we rock and rock and rock and rock, but we really don't get anywhere. And really that's what worry does for us. Listen to what Proverbs 12:25 says. Proverbs 12:25 says this, that what worry does is to rob us of our joy. Listen to Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in the heart of a man, in heart of a person, man, woman, boy, girl, anxiety in the heart of a person causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. So the Bible addresses it that way. Second thing is this. Paul said what we need to do is talk to God about everything. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So we pray about everything. So we conquer worry how? Through prayer, talking to God. And talking to God about what it is that's got us worried and bothered and all like that. But he uses some words here. In our Sunday school lesson today, we talked about these words, and maybe in your class you talked about these words. Supplication, thanksgiving, request. Supplication is just when you pour your heart out to God. I mean, it's when you come to God and you say, God, this thing's over my head. This is beyond me. I don't have the answer. I'm worried about this. It's got me bothered. And we just bring it to God and we lay it out to Him. Thanksgiving means gratitude. They tell us that the greatest emotion and the most healthiest emotion that we can have today, you would think would be love, but that's not it. What they tell us today is that the most healthiest emotion that we can have is the emotion of gratitude. Having that attitude of gratitude to God with all that He has blessed us with. So we thank God. We thank God in all things. Now notice what the Bible says. In all things, not for all things. And there's a difference. And so as we go through these problems and troubles and trials that bring worrying, concern and anxiety and stress, you know, we're not thanking Him for that, but we're thanking Him that He is with us through that. And so that's the difference. Thank God in all things, not for all things. And then he talks about request. And that really is a specific need that you have, whatever your prayer request is. Then he says you take that to God and you talk to God about that. You know what true prayer is? It's really expecting God to do something when we asked Him to do it. True prayer is really expecting God to answer our prayers when we pray to Him and when we talk to Him. Making our request known to God, he said, make your request known to God. Doesn't mean that God is unaware of what we're going through. Does God know what we're going through? Yes, He does. So why would we make our request known to Him? Because what it does is this. It demonstrates your trust and my trust in God. God, I've got this worry. I've got this concern. It's caused me a lot of anxiety, caused me a lot of stress. I'm really worried about this. So God, I'm bringing it to You. And what that does is demonstrate our trust in Him to take care of those situations. Romans 8:32 says this, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? You know what our biggest challenge is? Our biggest challenge is getting into heaven. God saved your biggest challenge. God took care of my biggest challenge through the cross. And He made it possible that we could get to heaven through Jesus Christ. So Romans 8:32, that's what He's telling us. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If God could take care of that biggest problem we have in our life, He can handle the rest of them. And so that's the promise of the Bible. So we trust Him and we put our faith in Him. So we don't panic, but we trust His promises. We don't worry, but we worship more. So what we're getting at here is this, that instead of worrying all the time, we need to live more than worry more. That's what we're getting at here. The third thing is this. He said, think about good things. In verse 8, he goes through the list here, and he tells us, you know, whatever thing's true, noble, so forth. There's a list of 8 things here that he tells us to think about. Now, you think about this. When you think on these 8 things that he's talking about here, the simple way to understand that is this. You know what you're doing? You're not focusing on your problem. You're not focusing on the anxiety. But you're thinking about God. Because what is God? God is true. What is God? God is noble. God is pure. God is lovely. And you can just go right down the list there. And so what he's saying here is this. Shift your focus from the problem to God. And focus on God and think about God. Cori ten Boom, I've made reference to her before, but she was a Dutch Christian young lady. Her and her family lived in Amsterdam during the Germany occupation. What her family would do is take in Jewish people, and they would hide them in their house. Eventually, what happened was they were turned in. And Cori ten Boom talks about this in her book that she wrote, The Hiding Place. You may have read that book. And they were taken to the Nazi concentration camp. All of her family died except her. She's the only one who survived that ordeal. In that book, here's what she said. She said, if you look at the world, you will be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. And I think that's a good way to look at this. Number 4, Paul said, be content with anything. He says, I've learned to be content. Now, a lot of us misunderstand contentment. Contentment is not laziness, it's not apathy, it's not complacency, it's not lack of ambition, it's not that. But contentment really is something we can have independent of circumstances of life. We can be content, good times, bad times, and so forth. But what it is, it's enjoying what we have now that God has given us. See, a lot of times, here's what we do. We fall into what is called when and then thinking. When this happens, then I'll be content. When I get to this place, then I'll be content. That's when and then thinking. And so we need to really stay away from that. And so the Bible tells us, though, that what contentment really is, it's you know, putting our trust in the Lord and looking to Him for the answers. So what we do is this. We find our security in the Lord. You know, there are things in life that can be taken from us. We can lose our health. We can lose our jobs. We can lose a bank account. We can do those things. But what we can't lose is our salvation. And what we can't lose is our security in Jesus Christ. So He is our security. And so He tells us this in verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's where the contentment is. Job 22:21 says this, obey God, be at peace with Him. This is the way to happiness. Jesus Christ came in order for us to have peace with God. The Bible says that we're to have peace with God. The way we have peace with God is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so He made that possible. And see, that's where we want to get to in life. Regardless of the stress, regardless of the anxiety, regardless of the worries that come our way, we want to know God's peace. And so that's what he tells us here in verse 9, that the peace of God will be with you. And that's really the answer to our worry, to our stress, to our anxiety in life, is to have the peace of God in our life. You know, there's something about the peace of God that we cannot understand. And that's what Paul tells us here. It is a peace that is beyond us. It is a peace that we can't understand. It is a peace that God gives. In verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So it's peace in the midst of the difficulty. You see, the circumstances may not change. Problems may not go away. The difficulties may still be there. But you know what God's concerned about? He's concerned about your character and my character. He's concerned about our maturity. That's what matters to Him. But He's all-knowing. And what we do is trust in the hand of God. We trust in His providence. We trust in His care. We trust in His keeping. You know, we may not be able to put together all the pieces of the puzzle. And we may not be able to understand all the ways of God and all that kind of thing. But here's what I know we can do. When we don't understand those things and we don't understand His purpose and will in certain matters, what we can do is trust His heart. And so we just trust Him. And we trust in His sovereignty. See, that is the peace of God that we have as believers. Now, before you have the peace of God, you've got to make peace with God. You've got to be saved. You've got to know Him. And if you've never made peace with God, then that's where it starts. And then the Bible says we have the peace of God. And that helps us, you know, to turn that faucet off when all these worries and anxieties come our way. So that's how we do it. And that's my prayer for you today. Let's stand for our prayer. Lord, we thank You that through Your Word, through Your promises, through what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us, that we can have peace with You. And Lord, I pray that everyone here today has made that peace with You. If not, that's the step of faith that they need to take. And then when we take that step, the promise is the peace of God. This is a peace that the Bible says guards our hearts. And Lord, we know to be human is to worry, to be human is to have anxiety and stress. We know that. We know we live in a broken world, we live in a fallen world. This world is not perfect. But we also know this, that as we go through these things in life, that we can trust You, that we can experience the peace of God that is beyond any human understanding that we have. And Lord, we thank You for this gift of Your peace. What a wonderful gift this is. It is a peace that doesn't come from the world. It's a peace that doesn't come from our efforts. It's a peace that comes from our relationship with You. And Lord, today I pray that we would place our faith and trust in the security that You offer in this relationship with You. And Lord, help us today to trust You, to look to You, and to be empowered by Your Spirit as we deal with these worries and anxieties and stresses of life that come our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just as I am.
Jason and Cheryl have come today to join our church, unite with us here. And if you rejoice with this decision, will you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Now this is Jason. You know Jason and Cheryl, but this is Jason. He said, we've been worried about joining the church, and so we decided to join today after I preached. Not worry, you know. So anyway, that's good, okay? But anyway, come by and shake hands with them before you leave today and welcome them to our membership here. Okay. Appreciate you being here today. May the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May you go in His peace and live in His peace this week. The praise team will come and they'll dismiss us in a song of benediction. And then after that, come by and greet Jason and Cheryl, if you'll do that, please.
Let's close with two verses of I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back.
Thank you, you're dismissed.